Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, April 6, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, how to manage your taxes when you own crypto. Yeah, right. With Zenledger, let's take a listen. Do your taxes, not financial advice.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us. We are just getting Seth and Pat on stage. And there they are, and then we'll get started. Awesome, Pat's up on stage. And so is Seth. Amazing. That's one of the smoothest setups I've had in a while. There's always often this moment at the beginning of Twitter Spaces where you're like trying to get people up on stage and it's not working. But cool, now we can start. It's 5:45 on the dot. So thank you everybody for joining us. When I say 5:45, it's 5:45 here in Paris. But as you guys may know, it's tax season in the US and Zenledger is kind of a service built to help you with that. And so this Twitter space is dedicated to talking about that. And you know, we're going to take you through how Zenledger works, how crypto is taxed in the US, and what the regulatory landscape looks like today, and more, because there's always room for questions in the end. So towards the end of the Twitter space, please, please feel free to request to come up on stage. We'd love to answer your questions if we can. Once again, first time I'm saying it in this space, but we say it a lot, that we do not give financial advice and we won't be doing that. So just so you know. Tune in, even if you're not in the US, we really want to hear, you know, your questions. Maybe we can help and answer them. And yeah, it's just probably interesting for you to learn about the global landscape and how it's evolving. Just to introduce myself really quickly, my name is Saman and I lead social here at Ledger. So every Wednesday, I kind of connect Ledger with our communities, depending on what's happening in the world. And yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm here today with two impeccable speakers. The first one is our guest, Pat Larson, who is the CEO at Zenledger. And the second one is Seth, who is our global head of policy and VP here at Ledger. Maybe if you guys want to introduce yourself, perhaps Pat, if you'd like to introduce yourself first.
Thanks so much, Simon. Hi, I'm Pat Larson. I live here in the United States in Seattle. Went to the Air Force Academy for undergrad, was a Navy helicopter pilot, and then got my MBA at U of Chicago, and I've worked in fintech and iBanking before co-founding Zenledger in 2017.
Awesome. And maybe Seth?
Hi, Saman. Yeah, thank you. Seth Erline, Global Head of Policy for Ledger, and I'm joining you today from the fabulous Ledger Villa here in beautiful Miami Beach on the sidelines of Bitcoin 2022. So I am a lawyer, but I'm not your lawyer. So disclaimer, nothing I say today should be interpreted as tax or legal advice. Um, But that said, a little bit of background on me. I started my career as a securities regulator in the U.S. And then worked for a long time in the Washington office of an East Coast asset management firm before starting the policy and government relations function at the Stellar Development Foundation, which was my intro to crypto officially. Now very very excited to be focusing on global policy issues that affect the Ledger community.
Amazing. Thank you both for your introductions. And yes, I think you guys may have seen on our socials, but we are at Bitcoin Miami. We were at NFC Lisbon yesterday and the day before. We just launched the Nano S Plus. So there's a lot happening at Ledger, but it is tax season. Let's start with the first question on that note. Pat, could you take us through what Zenledger provides as a service? Just letting everybody know that Zenledger is going to soon be integrated into Ledger Live. Hopefully, we're working as quickly as we can to make that happen. So bear with us, but it should be available to you very, very soon. Pat, could you tell us what it provides as a service and what is the origin story? What inspired you to create it and found it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Zenledger helps you with your accounting and taxes in crypto. We will ingest your transactions and trade history anywhere you've conducted it as best we can. You can always input by a CSV file, but we work with lots of APIs and read lots of on-chain stuff. And we have partnerships with great companies like Ledger and other blockchains, Algorand, Borderless invested in our last round. And we have some new blockchains investing in this round. So we always work to be able to see all of your transactions from centralized exchanges, DAO, DEX, DeFi, NFTs, and because that's where all the action is these days, right? So we just want to free you up from the burden of having to worry about tax and accounting and allow you to do some cash optimization so you can make some smarter trades and decisions with some of our reports, like audit report, tax loss harvesting report, and kind of see how you can minimize your taxes, optimize your taxes, or plan your cash flow. How we started the company was in 2017. We kind of looked at the crypto landscape and thought there needed to be some more infrastructure, and that helping with crypto taxes was a good first way to do things rather than kind of go the ICO route. I think Ledger kind of kindred spirits there, just helping with core infrastructure. The IRS was suing Coinbase at the time in 2017 and subsequently won that lawsuit. And so there's a lot more, kind of reporting requirements around there. And we figured that millions of people would jump into crypto and make a bunch of investments and that they would all need accounting and tax help. And we could create a software that had better automation, better accuracy, and better customer service.
Awesome. Thank you for that. I think that explains it. Could you explain to us a little bit what it means for Zenledger to be integrated into Ledger Live?
Yeah. First and foremost, again, it's just a lot easier, right? You'll get all the security you need from Ledger, and you'll get your portfolio snapshots of what's being held there. But then you'll also you'll have custody of your digital assets. But you'll have the ability to track your cost basis, your holding period, your profit and loss across the centralized exchanges, other wallets like MetaMask, other blockchains, that you're moving all these transactions around, sometimes in your custody, sometimes out of your custody, sometimes accounted for in, AVAX, Phantom, USDC, Tether, Dollars, Bitcoin, Ethereum, as you kind of hop around. We'll be able to very quickly and easily take in all your Ledger holdings and Ledger transactions, so that we can quickly, self-link all your non-taxable self-transfers, all your holding periods, all your gas fees to help optimize and minimize your tax obligation there. So just really happy to work with everyone who uses Ledger wallets, and it's a great solution for your security and custody. And we're just going to be able to more easily and quickly help you with your accounting and taxes because of the integration.
Great. I think that was really clear. Seth, kind of have a question for you. Could you kind of set the stage for how crypto is taxed in the US to people who may not have any idea about it at all?
Yeah, of course. We'll do a little crypto tax 101 here. So the most important thing to know is that in the US, crypto is taxed as property. And what that means is that in most cases, crypto taxes are going to be dealing with capital gains rather than ordinary income. Though there are a couple prominent exceptions to this, which I'll run through. But, you know, base case, you buy some crypto, you hold it for a little while, and then you sell it. The sale is a taxable event. And there are four possible tax treatments of that event. You could have either a long-term capital gain or loss, or a short-term capital gain or loss. And it's a 12-month holding period to determine the difference between long-term or short-term. So long-term gains have a favorable tax treatment, a lower rate, and then short-term gains, so anything that you hold for less than 12 months, are just taxed at your ordinary income rates. Now, I mentioned a couple exceptions in which crypto could be treated as ordinary income instead of capital gains. And the first one probably doesn't affect a lot of people yet, but it may in the future. And that is if you are paid directly in crypto. And I know about this. I've had this situation before. So speaking from personal experience here, but you know, crypto counts as wage income based on its value at the moment of payment, if you are paid in crypto. And then, you know, so after that, if you continue to hold it from that point on, then it reverts back to that capital gains treatment that I described previously. So in that situation, you could owe both ordinary income on the value of the crypto when it's paid to you, and then capital gains on any increase in value between the earn date and the sale date. And then the last exception is where sort of a lot of the really fun crypto policy comes into play. And that's there are a bunch of these sort of new, fairly unsettled crypto-specific earning opportunities, such as crypto lending, which is sometimes called interest, DeFi activities like yield farming, liquidity mining, things like forks and airdrops, and staking rewards. You know, all of these are pretty, you know, unique to crypto. And so what that means is, you know, there isn't established precedent for how they're treated for tax purposes. So we'll get into staking rewards a little bit later, but a lot of these things are still awaiting clarity from Congress or the IRS, or in some cases, even the courts.
Sorry, my phone was lagging. But great. Thank you so much for that. So Pat, given Seth's answer, could you explain the value of a software helping with the process and how that's safe and reliable as well? Because as you know, at Ledger, our number one concern is our user security, and we kind of make sure that that's the case across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, we never take custody of your accounts, and we would never ask you for passwords or seed phrases, anything like that. We never need any of that. We never want any of that. You can create a Zen Ledger account with just a hash or a Proton mail. We never need to know who you are. We don't KYC AML you at all. We're just providing you accurate accounting and math. That's all we're up to. So when in the software, when you connect an API, that's an API created by Ledger, by Coinbase. They are thoroughly tested and vetted. There's all sorts of hacking attacks all day, every day at all these places on chain and at centralized exchanges. And we're just using the exact same APIs that everyone else uses. So very safe, very secure. There's really no reason to hack us. We don't want to be a target of hacking. So we don't keep things that would make a hacker want to show up. So that's security first and foremost, and we believe in that too. And you can always delete your Zen Ledger account after downloading all your reports, and then come back next year, upload the reports and the transaction history, update some stuff, run it again, and et cetera, et cetera. So nothing's ever stored anywhere that you don't want. So the devil in the details of what Seth just mentioned as well is that it's very complicated to track all of this. To get your taxes right today, if you've been trading for 3 or 4 years in crypto and investing, you need to consider that first purchase of crypto with dollars or euros or whatever 4 years ago. And then you have to pick an accounting method, depending on, the country you're in the United States, it's generally first in, first out is the accounting method you use. And that cascades all the way through for 4 years. Your holding periods, your non-taxable self-transfers, your gas fees, Your gains and losses, your loss carry forwards, all those things have to be tracked and considered from day one of your transactions all the way through to when you're reporting your taxes. And we're helping you make those decisions by showing you all of your current holdings everywhere on every exchange and every wallet that you've uploaded. And our algorithms will also show holes like, hey, there's a hole here. It's probably, you know, a MetaMask wallet that you forgot. And then our customers will usually say something like, oh, yeah, like I bought some NFTs 3 months ago on Solana and I totally forgot about it. So I'll go ahead and add the receiving address only for that wallet. And then that'll fix like some of the holes and make the tax output more accurate. Our reports are only as accurate as the quality of the transactions we can help you get in. And we bend over backwards trying to help you. We'll even help you create CSVs by hand to upload into the system. We'll work with your tax professionals. Your tax professionals can have access as well. And we're trusted by big four accounting firms, ultra high net worth practices. We're trusted by several governments and their treasury departments to also check on accuracy there. So, and then we're used by tens of thousands of individuals and tax professionals. So a lot of thorough testing of the software, its security, and the accuracy of its reports.
Great. Thank you. Very helpful. So moving on to the next question. So maybe Seth can start answering this one. And then Pat, if you have anything to add, you can jump in. But, you know, you were explaining to us how crypto is taxed in the US. Now, there's something called the wash sale rule. I was wondering if you'd tell us a bit more about that, what it is, and, you know, link that to the regulatory landscape in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. There are sort of three crypto policy, crypto tax policy issues that are sort of making their way through DC at the moment. One of them is around wash trading, so I'll start there, and then I'll also touch on the infrastructure bill from last summer and what's happened since then, as well as a really favorable bill, a de minimis tax exemption bill that was introduced recently, but. So starting with wash trading, so that's the concept of selling an asset and buying it right back. And the rule in the U.S. is 30 days. So if you sell something and then you buy it back within 30 days, that's a wash sale. And it's interesting to note that currently that only applies to securities like stocks. It doesn't apply to crypto. It doesn't apply to most other commodities. So a question, why would somebody do this? It's basically to lock in a particular tax outcome. So, think about, you've got a crypto, some tokens that you like, and, you want to keep them, but they're down right now. So they're sitting, in your portfolio at a loss. You might in December sell those, to lock in the loss, and then in January buy them right back, and so you've retained the economic interest in that position, but now you have this sort of phony tax loss to report, and obviously the IRS doesn't like that. It's illegal for securities, and so there was a provision in the Build Back Better Act that passed the House this year. Or last year, but not the Senate, that would prohibit wash trading in crypto and other types of commodities. So that's not passed yet, but this is not a particularly controversial issue. When it was proposed initially in Build Back Better, the crypto lobby didn't oppose it. And so I think that it's very likely that will eventually pass. It's just not quite clear whether Build Back Better Act will be the vehicle that it gets through on. Next, the infrastructure bill from last summer, it was called the Infrastructure Improvement and Jobs Act, and it created quite a stir in DC because it contained a provision that would expand the definition of broker for tax purposes to include any person, quote, effectuating transfers of digital assets on behalf of another person, end quote. And what that means is brokers are required to file Form 1099s with the IRS of their customers' trading activity, and then also send a copy to their customer. And this is all well and good if you're a crypto exchange, but effectuating transfers is quite broad and ambiguous. And so, for example, you know, does that capture miners or other blockchain validators? Does it capture wallet producers? These types of groups don't have access to trading information. They very likely don't even have identity information about individuals, and so they couldn't complete with that regulation even if they wanted to. They couldn't file a 1099. And this was really what the fuss was all about. The good news is that very recently, within the last month or so, the Treasury Department sent a letter to the Senate saying really two things. One is that it's working on a rule proposal related to the broker definition that will be released for public comment, which is always good to see. And second, that they reiterated to the Senate that things like miners and wallet producers would not be included in their rule proposal. And then finally, the last thing I want to touch on is really good news. Two Congress persons, Susan DelBene from Washington and David Schweikert from Arizona, recently reintroduced a bill called the Virtual Currency Tax Fairness Act. And, you know, this is important because, there's sort of a common saying in crypto that, you know, we'll know that crypto has reached mainstream adoption when it's easy to buy a cup of coffee with your favorite coin. But from a tax perspective, buying a cup of coffee with crypto can be pretty painful. And that's because that $3 purchase is itself a taxable event and has to be reported on your taxes. And you can imagine what a nightmare that would be if you buy lots of cups of coffee with crypto. So what this bill would do is create a de minimis exemption that would exempt taxpayers from reporting capital gains on personal transactions valued under $200 or where the amount of the capital gain is under $200. So that could make life a lot easier for crypto natives that actually like to spend their coins. And again, it's maybe a little bit less likely to get through in the near term, but it's not a particularly controversial bill. And I do expect that something like this will get passed through Congress relatively soon.
Nice. Yes. And that definitely gives kind of more flexibility. Pat, do you have anything that you'd like to add to that before the next question? Okay, let's then move on to the next question. So, Pat, how can regulatory bodies actually check, and maybe this is a question for Seth too, how can they actually ensure and check that you've paid crypto tax? And, you know, what are the potential repercussions if this isn't done in the U.S.? I ask because there's a common sentiment that, oh, there's no way to actually track transactions. And so it's kind of an honor code-esque question. Just wanted to ask that one.
Sure. I think anyone who's paid taxes knows that it's not the honor code, never has been, and is a bit childish that we assume in crypto it is. People don't like to pay taxes, but if you don't pay taxes for long enough, in most countries in the world, if you don't, people with guns come to your door, knock on your door, and ask you to pay your taxes, right? And the United States is no different. And whether that be sales tax, property tax, income tax, capital gains tax, there are various bodies that look at each of it. And like I mentioned earlier, the IRS sued Coinbase in 2017 to get better reporting on this. You will see more comprehensive bills. Seth mentioned several of these that will increase visibility and reporting requirements. Every Fortune 50 company that's a bank or a tech company has crypto and blockchain designs, and they're going to push through legislation as well because they can see how they all benefit from this. And they'll want regulatory cover, right? And all the investors that want to invest in these Fortune 50 companies and get into crypto want that as well. They want clarity so that they can deploy lots of people, lots of assets, billions in marketing to get, you know, people access to buying crypto, earning higher yields, moving funds internationally, self-custodying them, et cetera, right? So right now on your 1040, page one, right above your name and social security number and address is a yes or no digital assets question. Like, did you transact in digital assets this year? Yes or no? Perjury trap for you and your tax filer. So you're on record there, and then anywhere where you're KYC AML, every centralized exchange, you have a file there, and they know if you transact in digital assets. So they will report if you did or not in the form of 1099-K generally, or from Robinhood, a 1099-B, because they have custody and you don't. And so you'll kind of be on record in a couple different places, either transacting or holding or buying or selling digital assets. And so it's very difficult in that regime to hide like that you are transacting. It is very difficult for anyone to know exactly what your profit and loss is, but that's kind of the same with your income and your real estate and your sales tax and your exceptions and your dependents and your healthcare expenses and your business travel, et cetera, right? So every government kind of, you know, our government puts the burden on you as the taxpayer to file your taxes accurately. And then they kind of reserve the right to dig in and audit if they think your filings are inaccurate.
Got it. Thank you. I think it was an important question to ask, even though, yes, assuming the honor code is a bit naive. Yes, thank you for that. Moving on to the next one, Seth, could you tell us a little bit more about tax treatment of staking rewards?
Yeah, so this is a fun one because it's totally unclear in the law, and you know, but the IRS has taken a stand on this, and it actually looks like they might lose. So the way this is played out is, you know, if you're staking and you know earning you know rewards in crypto that you know that are paid from. You know, from the protocol itself for, you know, for validating or delegating, you know, one way that you could look at that is, you know, that's income, you know, and it would be income at the moment you receive the staking reward. That's certainly how the IRS has seen it. But there's another way to look at that. So there's this concept in the tax law of created property. And the best analogy for this is crops in the field. You know, so think about a farmer goes out in the spring and plants some seeds, and you know the seeds sprout and crops grow. You know, trying to sort of apply this analogy, you know, would you say that the farmer received income when the seeds germinated, the plants sprouted, when the fruit started to grow? Yeah, no, of course not. You know, the farmer experiences income when they take the crops to market and sell them. And so the analogy here is the same for, you know, for staking. You know, it's essentially that the protocol is producing new property in the form of these of the new staking rewards. And that it's, you know, it's like the crops, and it should not be taxable until the crops are sold at market. And, you know, a number of congressmen sent a letter to the IRS making this point, basically saying that in their view, as, you know, as tax writers, you know, that's how staking rewards should be treated. Nevertheless, the IRS pursued some taxpayers who failed to report staking rewards on their taxes in a case called Jarrett v. United States. And, you know, it's been a bit of a winding case through the courts. But recently, the IRS offered the Jarretts to settle their case, basically to, you know, to sort of relieve them of their liability and you know, pay them some money to end the case. And the Jarretts refused because, you know, they want the court to be able to rule on the issue and provide clarity. You know, so a lot of observers think that, you know, the IRS offered to settle because they think they're going to lose and that the Jarretts refused the settlement because they think they're going to win. You know, so it's a very interesting one to play to watch play out in real time. So definitely more to come on that. But what I would say is, you know, if you're staking and you have staking rewards, you know, definitely talk to your tax advisor about how you want to deal with that. You know, because it is very unsettled, and there are these sort of different ways to look at it.
One other point there that's interesting is that you know, the legislative body, Congress, can pass a law that treats staking one way or another, regardless of the court outcome. And then there's just more appeals and lawsuits. But just because the court outcome goes one way, the appeal could go the other, or legislation could go a different route as well.
Got it. Thanks both for that one. Just a word to our audience. If you have any questions, now is the time to request to come up on stage, because I'll be asking a last round of questions and then we'll be answering yours. We see one of you who's requested to come on stage to ask a question, but really feel free. We're here for that. Cool. So now moving on to a question that kind of has us thinking about the European market. Seth, there's a lot that's happening in Europe right now. What are your predictions for the future? I know this is like really looking into a crystal ball, but given the European landscape, how do you expect the American landscape to react? Do you have any insights? We're just interested to hear that, and Pat as well.
Oh my goodness. There's there's
a big one.
A lot happening in Brussels recently. None of it terribly favorable for crypto. On the tax issue in particular, we are hearing that sort of next up or soon up on the sort of the Brussels legislative docket is a crypto tax regulation of some type. We haven't seen text of it yet, and there's a lot going on there already with respect to crypto. So I don't know that this is imminent, but it's definitely coming. So it's hard to say what that actually looks like. Based on the last couple of things that have happened in the last 3 weeks or so, with the near miss on a Bitcoin ban in Europe, and then the transfer of funds regulation that was just voted on in committee and parliament, I don't have high hopes that it's good. I guess I'll reserve judgment until we actually see some text.
Thank you, and Pat, if you have anything to add to that.
No. And, like the points I'm making are kind of obviously defaulting to Seth in terms of like subject matter expertise here is I just kind of wanted to highlight that things are really in flux, and whether we kind of think we know what's going to happen or not, we kind of have to be ready to continue to stay in a gray area or be surprised as things go. I think, 2 years ago, if you'd asked, as COVID was hitting the world, like, where will the state of crypto regulation, taxation, and the general market be in 2 years? We would have had no idea, right? And I think the general sentiment is that progress is going to accelerate from here. You see, India taking steps for taxation of crypto. You see global donations to Ukraine. You see Russian oligarchs realizing they should have held more digital assets and less yachts in places where those assets could get seized. And you see, increasingly countries across the world adopt digital assets like Bitcoin as a form of legal tender. In the next couple of years, I think things will move quickly, and that'll cause reactions from other places. Maybe it's Singapore that moves first, and then Brussels has to react to that, or London moves first, and then, US goes second. It'll just be a very dynamic environment for quite a while, I think.
Yes, ever changing. Cool. So we're going to just wrap up with any last thoughts before we open the floor to questions. So if there's anything I haven't added or asked you guys that you really want to mention to the audience, now is the time to go for it. Any points?
Nothing more from me, Sima.
Cool. Thanks. All right, cool. So let's go for questions then. Kanye Brady vibes. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for letting me on. I missed the beginning of this. Did we talk about 1031 exchanges where it pertains to like NFT or non-fungible tokens art sales? That's kind of where I wanted to ask about. If we didn't cover that, I haven't heard anybody from the tax world really address using a 1031 exchange. Anyone want to chime in?
Yeah, so I don't think we've addressed that topic, Seth or Pat.
I would say that's a Pat question.
Pat,
I would say that's a completely unanswerable question. So, in 2018, you had a tax bill in the U.S. that said, hey, just to clarify, 1031 exchanges are like for real estate only. Thanks. Because there was an attempted loophole of like, hey, my Bitcoin and Ethereum are a 1031 exchange. And Congress like basically specifically shut that down. I can't imagine Congress saying that it would be okay to swap art. Like you go into an art dealership and you can't just like swap art around. So I think again, crypto people keep wanting to imagine there's some way to skirt taxes. And there's not, there's no like, oh, I have this great idea. And there's this like great insight and it's going to save me millions in taxes. That is just generally not the case. Like you have to like lobby for years, and get specific legislation that allows something to happen rather than to try to spot loopholes and try to exploit them. Cause those usually get closed.
Yeah. I wasn't really thinking about loopholes or closing them. So you're saying that it's not legal to use a 1031 for art, because I feel like there's a difference between a crypto, which is fungible, right, versus like an art or plane or boat or house that's a non-fungible asset. Does that make sense? That's I'm not saying for Bitcoin, I'm saying for specifically only NFTs.
Yeah, so I would just say that I don't know enough about it, and I don't think a regulating. So if you do that as an art dealer or investor and you get audited, like it's not going to be fun, right? Like you and your tax professional are going to have to try to lean on some things, and the government's going to pick probably a different tack, right? Like that's, I'm saying it's undetermined right now. And so if you're basing all of your finances and your investment strategy off being able to use a 1031 exchange and NFTs, like that's tough. And you should try to find tax professionals who are writing a lot about this, like maybe, you know, like Jacob Martin, or other, lawyers who really love NFTs and spending all day thinking about it. Cause I think it's, I don't think there's any firm ground to stand on here one way or the other.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks for your question, Kanye. DeFi Daniel, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I can go. Thank you and good morning to everyone. So my question is pretty specific. How to handle reporting on transactions on tokens that have this elastic behavior? I just found myself having a hard time this year. I had to do everything very manual, even though I was using a software. But there's some tokens out there that have a rebase or some elasticity to them. What would be the best way to report on those?
Again, like if you have a lot of these transactions and you have a lot of income and capital gains, you're going to want to consult a tax professional about how to handle it. You do need software generally because there's so many of these transactions and they all need to be priced, you know, in the currency of the jurisdiction, let's call it dollars at the time they happen. And then you generally need a holding period. And if there's capital gains or income to be reported. So it gets pretty complex. And our software does it for a bunch of staking and mining and airdrops and such. But there was such an explosion of offerings and complexity throughout 2021 and ongoing into 2022 that it's this race for us to, you know, get to know the blockchains, get to know the startups on those blockchains, get to know all their documentation, test things out, verify the treatments, look if there's, ask lawyers and accountants on how to treat it as well into like the logic of our software, and to also give the individual tax filer or their accountant the ability to kind of adjust logic, more conservative, more aggressive, and change transactions around. So like our Zen Ledger does do a lot of that, and we've been supporting staking and mining and, DeFi stuff for over a year now, but like specific to a certain blockchain, we may or may not support it yet. And then we would strive to support it by October 15th. It's kind of like blockchain dependent. And then exactly what the nature of those rewards and staking are. So it gets kind of like, it really, really matters specifically what you're doing.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. It's I don't think these elastic behavior tokens are very common. There's a few, there might be more coming. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be more people with the same issue where you know, you, let's say you buy 100 tokens at $100, and then you sell, you know, because of the rebase elasticity, let's say the price went up. So now you have 80 tokens, but you have profits in USD dollars. And that's a nightmare to try to report, because the software that I was using, you know, I got 100, I only sold, actually it was the other way around. I got 100 and it went to 120 tokens. So I could not prove where my other 20 tokens were, and I had negative 20 tokens in the balance sheet. So anyways, yeah, it's very complex. I appreciate trying to resolve this in the next go.
Yeah. I mean, my sense is you would have to come up with some sort of plug transaction where you show 20 tokens coming in, you show the overall value of each of those 120 tokens being, you know, a dollar or X or whatever. And then those 20 tokens would have a value at the time you receive them. So that would probably have to be income at time. And then you'd have a holding period. And when you sold one token or 100 or 120, you would have some holding period, some capital gain, some capital loss there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did reporting for this year. It was very manual. And, you know, I had to like basically interact with it manually. But anyways, thank you. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, DeFi Daniel. Astrophene, do you want to go next?
Absolutely. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity and this great space, actually. So I'm kind of new in the NFT world, and I didn't actually sell or buy anything last year. So I'm kind of, you know, I already actually filed my taxes, but I started this year, 2022, and I started selling and buying NFTs. And I have only, you know, one wallet, which is on my ledger, and I'm using MetaMask and working on OpenSea. So pretty kind of clean, you know, small account, I would say. Now, my question is, what is your best advice for people like me who are new, or what should I do, you know, during this year in order to, you know, have how can I say, like a relaxing, you know, tax season next year, okay? So what would be the best advice, or what should I do now in order to avoid, you know, those things for next year? Thank you.
Seth, do you have any thoughts, or you want me to field this one?
No, I think that's right up your alley as well.
Okay.
Great cool. Question.
Yeah. I just don't want to take up all the airtime here. Well, thanks. First thing is keep great records, right? If you talk to anyone who's been in crypto for a while, they will just admit that they haven't been great at record keeping. And it sounds like what you're doing is kind of all on chain. And so it's pretty easy. You'll just plug in your MetaMask, your Ethereum address, and whatever's happening on your ledger, and it'll all be there. And so our software will be able to take care of that really easily for you. Once you think about cash optimization things. So again, like, hey, I've been holding this token for 364 days and I'm thinking about selling it. Maybe I should wait a couple more days to have a 1 year holding period for long-term capital gains. Or, hey, it's December 31st and I have some tokens that are trading at a loss. Maybe I want to do tax loss harvesting, or I want to wait till next year to transact in them if I'm making profits. So yeah, I want to wait till January 1st. So I'm not paying for any of those profits, in the 2022 tax year. So a couple of things just specific to calendar and tax law. But generally, you want to make your taxes simple by minimizing the amount of transactions you have, and then maximizing the quality of your record keeping, and then working with a good tax professional and working with good software.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. So speaking about the keeping the record, you mean those transactions that I do, you know, on MetaMask, because I think they are all, you know, they will be all recorded. So do I need to keep, you know, those records manually or no, it doesn't need that?
No. So if you're doing stuff on chain, all you have to do is remember that you did it and like the receiving addresses. But a lot of people, once they start doing, once they really start getting into things, they'll be on like 8 exchanges. They'll have 4 or 5 MetaMask accounts. You might pick up a backup ledger and put some stuff and treat it as cold storage, like it'll get more complex and people will just forget where their assets are. They'll forget to, like, you know, remember. And so our software looks for these gaps and will point you towards them. And our analysts and customer service will help you as well. But I would say that's the main thing. Like, we often have a customer who goes, oh yeah, I forgot that I had some, you know, one Bitcoin at Quadria GX or Cryptopia and I lost it. Like, I guess I have to account for that. Or, I totally forgot. I didn't realize I had to report my ledger. I only dollar cost average and I send Bitcoin to my ledger every month. And it didn't occur to me that I needed to put that, you know, in the software to account for taxes or income, or there was some airdrop on the Ethereum you're holding there. Like, there's all sorts of little things that can happen. So basically for you in this instance, you just want to, like, remember that you have one ledger and the receiving address is there and that you have a MetaMask and the receiving address for that. And that probably should take care of everything, even your OpenSea is just tied directly to your Ethereum address that's on MetaMask most likely. So I think for right now, with the simplicity of what you're doing, you're fine, right? But as things get more complex, you should just, like, you know, keep a running tally of, like, where your assets actually are.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you so much. So one more last question. You may probably actually answer but I joined a little bit late, but is there any mechanism to import from your software to TurboTax?
Yeah, there is. So we have an export function that'll export your 8949, which is your list of taxable events that build up to your long and short-term capital gains or loss per year in the United States. So we will produce an A949 for you that you can then quickly import into TurboTax. And then we'll also tell you what your income earned via crypto was. And you can just input that manually into TurboTax as well.
Great. I hope that was that answered your question, Astrophene. And yep, thanks for coming up on stage and asking. So the last question we have today is from TJ Mehta. TJ Mehta, you can unmute your mic and ask.
Hi, great. Thanks for this. I apologize. I came in a little late. So my question is this. Let's say if you've just been accumulating for, and you probably get this all the time, let's say you've been accumulating just all of 2021. You have just been accumulating. You've been a part of some airdrops, and basically those airdrops have no dollar value at all. You still have to report all that, even though, you know, they may never become fruition to anything. You know, an airdrop is an airdrop. You know, anyone in crypto can tell you that, right? You still have to report that, even though, you know, you haven't cashed out anything. So that should neglect you, and educate me if I'm wrong, that should neglect you from, like, capital gains, right? Can you shed a little bit of light on that? I apologize if you're repeating yourself.
Sure. It depends on the airdrop and the value of it and where you received it and everything. There's a couple litmus tests, like, did you take custody of it? Do you have control of the asset now?
It's all on my ledger, let's say.
Yep. And so, like, if these things are all worthless, like, they're purely, like, dust, and you can declare it if you want to at value zero, and then it's just income of zero. But you can, like, even write a little letter to kind of say, like, hey, by the way, here's, like, 8 airdrop tokens and they're all worthless. And you just kind of, like, send that in with your tax report if you want to. But you could also just kind of ignore it. Just like when you're walking through the street and someone gives you a pamphlet, that pamphlet costs 3 cents or something, right, to print out. It had some value. But, like, you don't claim that as income, right? You know, it's in your possession. It's worth 3 cents. But no one ever claims that as income, right? So where it gets different is if you hold Bitcoin in 2017 and then you get a giant airdrop of Bitcoin Cash, or more recently ENS or other, you know, big ones, right? And then those are actual income. Like, hey, I have thousands of dollars of this token now, and I have to declare it as income on the day I received it. And then if I sell it in 6 months for a gain, I have to pay tax, short-term capital gains tax, on what I sold and the gain of it. So if you're receiving worthless stuff, you don't really have to worry about it. But even if it's worth $10 or $20 in aggregate at time of receipt, technically it's income. You can, you know, and it's your choice and your your tax professional's choice if you're going to claim that or not. But if once it gets into like ENS range or you know, like these big airdrops, then, you know, you're on chain and kind of on record with this stuff. And as you move it around eventually, and if you ever move it to a centralized exchange and try to get it out to cash so you can, like, you know, buy something nice for yourself, then you're in a centralized exchange that's KYC AML'd, and they'll see, you know, that a token, you know, that's unaccounted for in your purchase history is there now. There'll be a misalignment of balance, right? You didn't turn dollars into tokens, then tokens back into dollars. You turn dollars into tokens, tokens got airdropped, you have more tokens now. And then, so like that's kind of how an audit would go in the end, like John McAfee's audits or something, right? So like if what you're worried about is audits, then keep good records, be upfront with how things are declared. And if you have to restate them later on, you know, that's fine. Again, not tax advice. But if it's just a bunch of worthless airdrops, generally people are not worrying about that. And I generally think that's probably okay. Yeah.
Okay. And just one follow up. I know you said this the last real quick. So it was touched on earlier. Let's say I'm staking, right? And I'm staking ADA, and I took some of those rewards to invest into other things of which I've never cashed out on. How's that treated? How would that be treated?
Yeah. So the income of ADA is taxable as income. The staking rewards are taxable as income at the time you receive them. And then when you sold the ADA for some other token, that's a taxable event. And if you had profits from the ADA you held, long or short term, there's a capital gain there. And then if you didn't sell token XYZ, then you're fine. But every time you swap between tokens, it's likely a taxable event. Just like anytime you swap between, you know, Tesla and Amazon stock, it's a taxable event.
And you need to know the price of that time you swapped it.
Yeah, so it's a crypto to crypto trade, and you don't know what the dollar price was. So our software will go and find all the dollar prices or all the euro yen prices of all your crypto to crypto trades for you.
All right, what's the name of your software?
Zenledger, Zenledger. It's at the top of the room here.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Sure thing.
Thank you, TJ Meta, for your questions. I'm just going to remove a speaker. Okay, perfect. Cool. So I guess we'll wrap up now. Thank you so much, Pat and Seth, for answering these questions in details, for explaining everything to us from scratch, kind of like the beginner / 101 guides. Very, very helpful. And to our audience, if you have any questions after this space, feel free to at us with the questions and we'll try and get back to you. Disclaimer, once again, we are not providing any financial advice. So don't ask us for it. We hope that you have a great day ahead. And yeah, Pat and Seth, feel free to chime in if you have any closing remarks. But other than that, thanks, squad.
Yeah, I would say be on the lookout for our announcements for our kind of our official launch of the integration. Yes. We'll have a coupon code. We'll have links to landing pages for Ledger and Zenledger. And we're happy to help you through this tax season and your extension through October 15th. And, you know, for the next whatever, 5-10 years before you guys are all finally, you know, super wealthy in crypto and decide to cash out.
Yes. So we'll be announcing on our Twitter channel, all our socials, when Zenledger is available to all of you guys. And we'll try to get that integrated as soon as possible, just to make your lives easier. Cool. Seth, any closing remarks or just want to say bye?
Yeah, no, just, you know, fun space today. Thanks for having me. And
of course.
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Thanks, you guys. Really appreciate your time. And to the next one, if there is one. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was How to Manage Your Taxes When You Own Crypto with Zenledger, recorded on Wednesday, April 6th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Boots stepping on the concrete where the rocks meet. Nighttime special ops flushing out the raw meat. If you think you want beef, think again promptly. Oddly, the bombs never dropped on the party. Probably the odds were too damn alarming. Disarming the population, that's a hard feat. Hardly break up the booze and the drugs. Wait till the bodies drop, then roll up the rugs. Raise up an army of suicide Barbies. Never bring a plastic knife to a gun battle. Gotta praise mommy for the do or die heartbeat. Gave up killing, now she's back in the saddle. Better pick a side, let them go gather. When the dogs of war are out looking for their master. Feeling all wore out like a blood donor. But they wouldn't take it, didn't have the right aroma. When the enemy strikes, you better have a flashlight. Never have I seen darker days in my life. Everyone got a handout, looking for a pardon. Me, I'm just lucky, I found a good partner. The look on their face when the shit got started. A bunch of dead bodies, dearly departed. It's merely an art form made out of cardboard. Got a brain and the headed blood pumping heart for. Keeping everything saturated like a drugstore. Fighting through the lines like a blood sport of sorts. Just trying to get enough food to live. Can't grow your own when you're living in the shit. In the midst of all this, we never got our shit together long enough to sit and think about the bigger picture. Whether or not we ever had to run the risk. Rather be a carrier gorilla in the mist.
Well, we need to remember that this virus will pass. But the decisions that we make today in this atmosphere will last. We will have to live with them. Our children will have to live with them. All of our posterity will. It's not just about America. It's not just about your city. It's about everywhere.
Terra Spaces.